Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irving. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PAPPSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about the Freedom Train Network, myself, Patrick, all of our wonderful guests that we've had, all of the new shows we got. Make sure every Friday night at 10:30 p.m. you check out the Enigma Sep Hour on the Freedom Train Radio Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com, as well as the Enigma September YouTube channel. And, you know, the Freedom Train Network is available on all sorts of social network. We're under the Freedom Train Network on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Instagram, and then on Twitter, we're Freedom Train Net. So here we go. So, Pat, what's up, man?
I was just wondering, what happens when a flat earther go to Google Maps and scroll out?
That's a good question. I don't know. You gotta ask Kyrie Irving.
I wonder, do they get like big mad or little mad?
Probably big mad. Oh, they try to break it down because it's not real and the government playing in it.
Anyway, what we got? Yeah.
So today, we have a young lady who, she's doing real good things in our community, real, real great things. So that's one reason why I want to have her on. But I first met her. I was on FAMU campus. You know, my day job, I do HIV/AIDS outreach prevention and testing and stuff. So she might not remember, but I first met her on the FAMU set. We was up there doing testing one day, and it was a whole bunch of booths spread along the set. So I saw her sign and everything that she had going on. So I went over and I started talking to her about what she had, what she was doing and everything, her setup. And she has a foundation called the Make It Out Foundation, where they are dedicated to helping high school students get college. And we were talking about that. So I was very, very, very intrigued about it. So, you know, I kind of paid attention for a while to what she was doing. And because, you know, how sometimes you meet people and some people just be talking, but this young lady, she's not just talking, she's about action. And so I decided we need to have her on this show so to give her organization a little more exposure, but so we can learn more about what she's doing. She's 22 years old. She's from St. Petersburg. She's a graduate of Florida A&M University, so you know my school. So now we had to have her on here. So I want everybody to get off your feet on my little man in the shirt. Go ahead and get everybody together. Put your hands together for Miss Deja Charlie. How you doing today?
I'm doing really good, really good, really grateful to be on the show.
No problem. Thank you for being here with us and giving us some more information about what you do. So, you know, we always kick it off. Patrick, you got the first question. It's on you. So let's go ahead and let's do this, man.
So I guess the real question has to be, when Joseph swaggered up to you and tried to holler, how exactly did that conversation go? Like, was it like a maybe? Like, it was it like a brutal rejection? Was it like a, I got a boyfriend, but we cool, I'll be on your show to make you feel better? Like, how did that work?
You must be he's talking like a
no, actually, he was a very nice guy. Like he said, we met on the set and we were just talking. And I'm so active, so, you know, I was ripping, running through the set and stuff, and I happened to stop at his table, so where he was at, and we chopped it up, and he asked me some questions, and I let him know what I do, and I followed him on Instagram, and we followed each other, and then that's how I found out what he has going on, So yeah, and then he reached out and said, hey, I would definitely love to, you know, have you on the show. So that's how that worked out.
Yeah. Pat, trying to twist. See?
Yeah, no dissing took place. No dissing.
So can you give our audience some more, you know, background information about why you chose to serve the public, why you chose to open the nonprofit you chose to open?
Right. Yeah, so my name, so y'all know my name. So I'm Daisy Sawyer, born and raised in St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm a native. Just as a teenager, the things that I was, like, involved in was really just, like, you know, helping. Just wanted to help people of my age and to be a part of things that really brings about change. And as a teenager, I was a part of, you know, stuff like going around to recreation centers and talking about the importance of education in high school. And we had something called Avid in high school that preps you for college. So going around volunteering my time at the Ronald McDonald House with ill children. So this type of environment and this type of work I've been doing this since, like, you know, I was young, just going around and just want to see people just make it. And if I can put a smile on somebody's face, then definitely, you know, that's the ultimate goal. So fast forward to my junior year of college, to the summer of July of 2017, I had this initiative on my heart for about 4 months, and I didn't act on it because I was like, dang, you know, God, I'm like, okay, now something else. Now you got me, you know, putting something else on me. I'm like, okay, like, my focus is to graduate from college right now. Like, it's my senior year coming up. So I was hesitant to starting it because I'm like, well, I'm young. I'm too young to do this, and I maybe don't have the willpower. But, yeah, it was one summer, July 2017, and I went to my good friend who was actually my business partner, the co-founder, Dontrell Fletcher, and it was one day after class, we were taking summer classes, and I told him, I said, I've been having this initiative on my heart because I said it was a little hard for me financially to get to school. And my mom is a single parent raising my brother and I, so it was hard. So I told him, I said, you know, I want to do something because I said I really didn't see a lot of people back home from our area really doing this. And so he said he was thinking of the same thing. And I said, all right. I said, I know that I can do my best to get things done on my own, but I think it would be better if we come together and do this. So we chopped it up that day, and we came together. We said, all right, we'll do $300 for the first go around. This was in 2017, and I said we raised $300, and we're able to award students $100 each. I think God will be great with us, and I think that we've done our job. We were able to raise $1,200, and this is before the nonprofit came about. We raised our money. We put up some of our own money towards the scholarship, and we did it. We got money through Instagram. We got money through Facebook, reaching out to alums who with the family who's from St. Pete. Our friends definitely supported our family, and we were able to raise $1,200. There were about 9 students from St. Pete who applied. And basically, as long as the student filled out the application correctly and they had to do a scholarship, 500 words or more explaining what just making it out means to them, and then they got it. So it was 7 students for St. Petersburg, and we just split it up amongst everybody for the first go-around. So that's pretty much how everything got kicked off, and then it transpired into it. Then it went to a nonprofit organization.
No, that's cool. That's real cool because I'm glad you acted on your desire rather than just sitting on it. And then I'm glad that you at least had a minimum goal of 300 and was working toward that. But you can see that if you just put forth effort, sometimes it'll come out way better than you expected it to. And here you are with a full organization that can help more people. So definitely hats off to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So I want to ask this about your public service. a lot of people are public servants, but we never really find out what it means to them. So to you, what does it mean to be a public servant?
To be honest, I mean, I feel like I'm still working in that to figure that out. I definitely don't consider myself a public servant. I feel like God just aligned me in different situations and in the capacity of always helping people. So to me, a public servant means just if God is using you in one particular area or different areas, and you're just doing His work, you're fulfilling His purpose to bring about change, and you're being used in that capacity to help other people. So to me, being a public servant just means someone who's willing to go through the hardships, ups and downs, and challenges to really bring about effective change.
Okay, I like that definition, because that definitely isn't far from it, because you do have to be willing to go through the ups and downs. You do have to be willing to sacrifice for others. So definitely what you want. Yeah.
Pat. Right.
What?
All right, just making sure you was you ain't run away. You know how you.
Nah, man. You know if I'm a run, I send you the bird call. but you know, you was talking about being active and things being placed on your heart, and you taking the initiative. Were there any experiences that you went through in high school or as a college student that stood out? And, you know, what experiences can you say that you pulled from to help you move forward today?
I would have to say not even just like college, just my experience, just in my upbringing, like, and why I grinded so hard and did all that I did at FAMU to really want to make a difference, and really where I come from. Because I come from a single-parent home. My dad has been in prison since I was 11. I'm 22 now. So I know what struggle feels like, and I know what making it out really, really means, because I'm an example. I'm the prime example. So I really showed that at FAMU, in Student Government Association, as a senator, and as a vice president, interning with the Florida House of Representatives, and just networking and really just helping my school, because FAMU has done so much for me. So I wanted to make sure, while, you know, getting great grades, that, you know, I was doing the best that I can to really make FAMU great. So that's pretty much my answer for that.
I want to ask this, because as you say, you grew up in an environment where you didn't necessarily see people like yourself, the young lady you are today. And I came up in similar environments. I'm still existing in some environments where there are no real examples around. And I know to be able to make yourself better, you have to have some kind of gumption. So what made you say, you know what, I want to be somebody, I want to do better? What made you take the route that you are on now, rather than just becoming what everybody else has become?
Right. Just my situation. I'm the first person in my immediate family to graduate. I got my bachelor's degree from FAM. So that's what really pushed me. And then not letting my parents' story and their decisions stop me from wanting to do great. Because when I make it, I want to make sure my family's taken care of. My mother, who I look up to so much, because she sacrificed so much for me, being a single parent and having to play both roles while my dad has been incarcerated for about 15 years, that's a hard job. So that put the fuel to the fire. Like, Dave, you got to grind. You know, there's no excuses. You really got to make it out. And so really that's where that comes from. It's really just come from the struggle, what I experienced in my childhood. And that's why, you know, who I am today, because I understand what hard work and what determination feels like when you're not in that environment of everything, like, being handed to you, or you don't see people going off to college. Like, my life was never like that. So I wanted to do better. I wanted to create a better atmosphere to show young people coming up, you know, after me, and to show my siblings that you can do it. It takes prayer and faith and hard work, and you can do anything that you put your mind to.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So, what's the...
There you go, my bad. I'm messing with you. I guess it's my turn, yeah. Go ahead, my...
When I come down to Florida, you know what? Soon as this show drop on Wednesday, this track dropping the next day on Thursday.
I'm ready.
Straight fire. Anyway, so before I was so rudely interrupted,
oh God,
by this rude ass North Florida dude. He's just mad because North Florida ain't nothing but a po-ass South Georgia.
Hey, man,
oh,
hey,
no.
You from here, too.
Oh, I can talk about it. So, hey, so you said you went through, you know what it's like to struggle. You know what it's like to go through challenges in life. What would you say was your toughest challenge that you faced thus far? And how are you able to overcome that challenge?
I say the biggest challenge for me is achieving all that I'm achieving and the places that God has like put me in and doing all these great things and beating the odds and making it out, not having my father here with me. That's definitely had to be, that's my biggest challenge. So just not having him here and to really go throughout middle school, high school, and college, you know, without a father. So that's has been one of my biggest challenges. And the way I've overcome that is just, you know, showing him that, Dad, it's okay. Your baby girl has gone on to do really, really great things, and I'm out here grinding so that when you get out, you know, I want to be able to take care of you, you know, and to pay it forward for all that you've done before me, you know, before you went in. So I would have to say, you know, growing up without a father has been the most challenging thing that I have experienced.
Okay. So as far as influences within your life, people who you look up to, people who you want to mold yourself after. Who has been your greatest influence thus far, and why was that person your greatest influence?
Okay, maybe everyone uses this person. I'm going to have to say Barack Obama.
Okay.
I was about 22, so 2008. I was about 12 years old. So I wasn't, you know, able to vote, but just being alive and being part of that type of history, it was life changing. It was moving. I remember sitting in front of my television with my grandmother and my aunt, just watching just everything and seeing people crying. I'm crying, but really not really knowing just of like, okay, this man really just like it was just great, like just life changing. So just to experience that and being around that, and I use that as an example for me being a little black girl. Like, Deja, if you want to continue helping people and to grow up and want to do things and want to make the world greater, here is your example right here, Barack Obama, a man who they said could never do it, wasn't, you know, qualified enough. But when God uses you, he will definitely put you in positions to where no man can say like otherwise. So definitely Barack Obama.
Okay.
Actually, we have not heard that one before.
Oh, okay. Well, on the first, Barack Obama. Awesome.
There you go.
Yeah, usually people say something more extra regular like they mama.
Right, yeah.
Not the shit on nobody mama, you know.
Right.
you know, but everybody say they mama. So. Moving on, because I feel like I just got myself in trouble with somebody.
Oh, God.
Somebody going to come call you up.
Hey, man, you know what? Look, this deal, right? And I'm already in the hole. I might as well dig a little deeper. Your mama is special to you.
Right, right.
To everybody else, that's just Janet.
Not Janet. I'm screaming.
Miss Janet.
Whatever her name is. She's just some lady.
Miss Janet May.
Right.
Give one of them old school names, Janet May.
You know, that's just Mary Lee. You know that? That's
right.
That's just some lady that had sex with some dude.
Oh, Lord.
The same as a whole bunch of other ladies had sex. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, yeah, I'm not taking anything away from your mama and what she did for you. I know it was special, but, you know, to me, that's just Ruby Jean.
Oh, Jesus.
So, all right. Yeah.
But, no, I get you. I got you.
Go ahead, Joe. I can't ask a question after I just got myself in trouble.
Well,
I know I'm
now, so, so we've talked about the Make It Out Foundation, and you talked about why you created it. What the mission of it is to help get people to school. So thus far, how many students have you helped get to college thus far?
Right. So primarily our goal and our focus, we raise funds for students for St. Petersburg, Florida, who will be admitted into FAMU. So the scholarship is specifically for students from St. Pete who's going to FAMU. So that's high school students, transfer students out of the area, our students entering to the graduate level program, and also the FAMU College of Law.
Okay.
Far, to this date, we have awarded 15 students the scholarship, and we were founded in November 2017, right. November 29th. So this year, so less than a year, God has been doing so many just amazing things. We've been able to award 15 students, right? So I think, you know, that's pretty life-changing.
That's
15 students.
That's great. And I want to ask this, not to be crazy, man, but just curious. Why do you specifically have the scholarship set up for kids to go to FAMU?
Really, from my experience of being in high school and hearing that FAMU was such a party school, that's all I heard. But no, that is totally wrong. We get our work done. We make great grades, and we go on to be, like, just really great individuals, but we also have a great time. Like, what everybody was telling me in high school, it was nothing like that I experienced. Like, I've met so many great people from the university presidents to administrators to faculty members to students and connections that I still have, you know, to this day. And I graduated, and that's what it's all about. When you go to FAMU, it just feels like love. You're around other people who just want to be successful. And, so that's why I said I have to pay it back. I pay it forward, and I want people from my city, students, to really feel this, that HBCUs are important. We are rich. We are rich in our education. We are rich in our love and everything, our opportunities. And overall, I just wanted the students from my city to feel that. And to experience that.
Right. And you wanted the people from your city to be great. So that's why you want them to go FAMU, so they can get all that FAMU rubbed off on them and go in the world and just be great. Yeah, Patrick, you missed out on that. See, Patrick, since he hang with me and I went to FAMU, then some of it kind of blow off on him every now and then. But, you know, I just want to say that.
It's okay. Everything happens for a reason.
You don't want to get started on FAMU right now, bro.
Oh, Lord. Positivity above all.
Right.
Unity in the community, my brother.
I didn't know that FAMU had a reputation for being a party school until I left Tallahassee though. Like,
yeah, I didn't. This is actually my first time hearing that. So that's
okay. Well, I heard it from some of the kids when I joined the military.
What'd you think?
But I always assumed they were confusing FSU with FAMU because, you know, FSU had that reputation.
Right.
The more people I met that said FAMU, the more I was like, wait, what? So it really is right. FAMU?
Right.
Thought right. It was FSU. Go figure.
The city.
It's the whole city?
I guess.
So. Yo, Joe. 15 scholarships, though, in less than a year. That's impressive.
That's dope. That's dope.
That's real impressive. You know, right. I know, well, you know, not even to compare or nothing like that, just even by itself, that's super impressive. That ain't nothing to, like, shake a stick at or whatever about. So,
right.
You know,
right.
Kudos. Where's the fat man in the little shirt?
Hey, hold on. You know, he's fat, so you got to get him. So, but here we go. Here you go. He ready. He ready. Now he ready. He ready. There you go. Yeah, you caught him off guard. You got it.
Hey, I don't like how the audience had that automatic stop sign come up.
Oh, they tripped.
The whole audience.
Yeah, right. They said.
So.
I'm like,
so how do you go about raising money for the scholarships? You know, you ain't got to present no trade secrets or nothing like that, but like, what are some of the things you do to raise money for the scholarships?
So the first year around, like I said, we put up some of our money, or just a little bit, myself and my co-founder. And then we did crowdfunding through, like, social media, so GoFundMe, PayPal. And this past year, we just awarded students in July. We basically went out to businesses, sat with businesses, so donations to businesses, banks, and different individuals who believe in our mission. So that's basically and applying for grants and stuff like that.
Okay. I met this lady last Thursday, I think, and I'm going to take a picture of her card, and I'm sending that to you because she's good at getting grants as well. So I'm gonna connect you with her. I can't remember her name right now. So I'm gonna connect you with her. So that's how you raise the money. How do you go about finding the students, or how do the students find you to get the scholarship money?
Right. So the first year for the 2017-2018 school year, what we did was we didn't have a website. We were just starting out. So we put an application together, and we put the applications at rec centers in St. Pete, so where it can give students access to physically pick them up. And since it was the summertime, most students were back home. They just graduated from high school. So we put them in 5 recreational centers, and all they had to do was either scan it in or mail it in to us, and that's how we did it the first year. The second year, for the 2018-2019 school year, we did it online because we partnered with an NFL veteran named Lewis Murphy. So we partnered with him, and he let us use his, you know, utilize his website to help out. So.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I remember Lewis Murphy from University of Florida. So.
Right. Get it.
All right. So, and have you noticed as you've grown more and more people, as they become knowledgeable about your mission, supporting you and helping you with funds and helping to get students to you?
I definitely think over these past few months, it is definitely taking off as far as like awareness and what we do, and even like to our target audience, who's just like the students in St. Pete, just by social media, and also our presence in the St. Petersburg community, going around talking to students, hosting workshops, just to let them know that we have, you know, money for scholarships available. But we also do community outreach and different events and stuff like that. So, yeah, most definitely I think that our awareness and our visibility in the community, and just even on social media too, definitely gotten better.
Okay. Okay. So if somebody is listening to this, or somebody found out about your organization and they want to donate money, how could they contact you to donate to the organization?
So right now, we have a couple ways. We have a GoFundMe still going on, Make It Out Foundation. We also have a PayPal, Make It Out Foundation. We take checks. If they call me directly, we have our email address, makeitoutfoundation @gmail.com.
Okay. Cool. Because I always want to make sure that people know where to go support.
Right. Yeah. So we got the GoFundMe. We got a PayPal going. We also take checks. If any questions or anything, definitely our email address is makeitoutfoundation@gmail.com.
Okay. So I want to ask this question before we get to the final question. As a black woman, as a young black woman especially, how important is it for you to be able to see black women, or even create opportunities for other black women and young black women for the purpose of making their lives better? How important is that to you?
I think it's very, very, very important. I think that when the young lady definitely see other women of our color out there, just different women, like just women in general, just different black women in all different sectors, when they see that definitely motivates them, push them to want to do better and want to just make a better way for themselves. So I think it's very important. I feel like that's the reason why I'm doing it, just to spark that push and that fire that, hey, no matter y'all circumstances, no matter what y'all going through, that y'all can do it too. If I can make it out, then y'all can make it out.
Right. And you're not just saying that because you actually have a resource to help people make it out. So that's the best
part.
Right. All right. So we're down to our final question. This is Patrick's favorite question. So I'm going to... And he, as you already see, Patrick is a special too. So we're going to set his question up like this.
So, if you were the all-powerful ruler of Black America, what would you change, and what would your message to the people be?
If I was the ruler, what would I change? Okay, so this may be a little different. I would change when it comes to affordable housing, affordable living. I just really want all of my people, especially, to be able to afford something nice for their families to live in. Whether it's pushed more towards owning a house and not renting and moving into that sector for all of my people, and really seeing the importance of buying land and taking ownership of more homes and more home buying. That's what I would do.
Okay. And what message would you have for people as well?
Let's see, the message really is just to stay encouraged, to keep God first and all that you do, and to know that life isn't easy, and you're not going to get it on the first try, but to keep going until you make it, because that's what makes your story, that's what makes a success story. What's triumphs without trials? Life isn't easy, so just to keep going and to keep a third courage and to stay on the mission, and to remember that it's not about yourself. It's not about you. It's about the bigger picture.
Right. Yes, ma'am. So before we wrap this up, can you once again tell people where they can go to donate to your organization and where they can find you, like social media and things like that?
Right. So just want to say thank you for having me
on the show.
It's definitely great. Greatly appreciated. My board members say thank you. So people can go and donate. We have our GoFundMe, Make It Out Foundation, one word. We also have a PayPal, Make It Out Foundation as well. We take checks as well. And for the younger people, we also have Cash App. with the cast on, Make It In, Make It Out Foundation, all one word. We have Facebook, the Make It Out Foundation. We have Instagram, Make It Out Foundation. And we also have a Twitter called Make_Foundation on Twitter. So we're on all platforms. Definitely we can be reached by email at make.foundation@gmail.com.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We have Deja Sawyer here, and she's 22 years old, and she's tearing the world up. I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for what you are doing, because when you help get those kids from your city to family, you not only make your city better, but you help make my city better, help make family better, and you help make our community overall better. So definitely thank you for doing what you do, and we'll definitely talk to you soon.
Yes, and just thank y'all for doing what y'all doing, and just providing people like myself with a platform to really spread our message and spread a good message.
Yes, ma'am.
A good message on what people are. There's some people out here doing great things, you know. So definitely just uplifting and encouraging our people just to keep going and keep trying to make a better way for other people. So thank you so much.
No problem. I definitely stay in touch with you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
No problem. See you later.
Okay.
Yeah. That's Miss Deja Sawyer of the Make It Out Foundation. So make sure you check out the Make It Out Foundation Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those things. Email her. So now she's doing big things. Like I say, she's 22 years old. I ran up on her. On the FAMU set, and been checking out ever since. And you heard all the great things that she's doing. No, that's what happens when you go to FAMU. You know what I'm saying? And the right pay. He gonna say something. Hate much.
Nah.
So he said, look at him. Yeah, man. So but it's rare that you meet young people with a passion. But I've been in a situation where I've met many young men and women who have that same fire, who are out here doing things in the community. And I just want to make sure that we use our platform to give them a voice so they can talk about what they do. And I need all y'all to support her and everybody else that we interview. That's what we need y'all to do. We need to make sure y'all are doing that. Ain't that right, Pat?
I said, yeah.
Boy. Hey, dog, you ain't said yeah. You ain't said loud enough, dog.
I said yeah, though.
Hey. Me and Pat gonna end up on one of them freestyle battles that be on YouTube. Maybe on that stage. Maybe it like he be hot up in there, don't
it? It probably do. I don't think they have no AC. All them people in there breathing with their mouths.
Man, I messed around to watch some the tip today. They were showing close calls and when. Actually turned into a fight when that was in the rhyme and they getting sensitive with each other. I don't know. All my rap battles turned out friendly. So.
I wouldn't want to go to one. Yeah, it looked like it'd be crowded and stinking there. I'll watch those on the computer.
If I go, I'm in the back by the door because I'm a little too old.
All them things cost upwards of $150-$200 a ticket.
Oh, man, yeah, I ain't going either. And like you said that, I ain't going either. But, yeah, $250 for a rap battle?
Yeah, no.
Between Mr. Regular and the other dude, Regular?
Yeah. Right. Two extra regular motherfuckers, yeah, no.
What up, man? But y'all know how we do, man. This is Freedom Train Podcast Series. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. And we hold it down. And we hold it down because we love what we do and we love our people. So you got to say your thing, Pat.
Power to the people.
There you go. Power to the people. Two fingers in the L. Just don't care.